الله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون صدق الله العظيم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this dunya in such a fashion wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given fazilat and virtue over few things, by other things. Let us take that principle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply it to the context of the Muslim ummah and its current status. When we have failed in our salah, then we have failed in all other levels. Talking about Mi'raj, whilst we cannot say categorically that Mi'raj took place on the 27th of Rajab, that is rather the preferred opinion of the majority of scholars. But however, there is difference of opinion as to exactly when the Mi'raj had taken place. This was a miraculous journey. It was an epic journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Makkatul Mukarramah to Baytul Maqdis, from there to the seventh heavens and beyond. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call him there? The main reason, the chief reason, was to bestow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this gift of salah. Not the burden of salah, but the gift of salah. For every other commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam brought the revelation down and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed. But this command has such a high value and status in the eyes of Allah that Jibreel had to come take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Baytul Maqdis via the seventh heavens. He had to stop at the Sidratul Muntaha, beyond which only the Nabi of Allah could go to receive this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to digress and discuss, you know, the journey of Mi'raj. That would be done in due course. But the point I want to make, this incident of Mi'raj alone should be sufficient to highlight to us the importance of salah. That's why it is mentioned, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. The Nabi of Allah went for Mi'raj. None of us can claim prophethood. But every time we say Allahu Akbar, our Mi'raj has started. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that the closest you can be to your creator, sustainer, nourisher and cherisher Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you put your head in sajda. Why is it today that we desire closeness to everything else, but we don't want to go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is that mi'raj that will strengthen our link with our creator. It is that salah that will strengthen our link with our creator. It is that salah that will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that salah that will give us the spiritual strength to face up to the challenges of the times, to face the various problems that afflict us. Just to give you a bit of history, as far as these five salawat are concerned, the ulama have made mention of this in authentic books, that each salah has an incident behind it with regards to a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to Fajr salah, the ulama have written that when Adam alayhi salatu was salam was sent from Jannah to this dunya, now Jannah is full of light, and when he came to this dunya, it was nighttime, pitch darkness. So naturally, being exposed to darkness for the first time, Adam alayhi salatu was salam was perplexed, he was anxious, he was scared, he was worried. That how am I going to spend my life in such a dark place? And he spent the night in this condition. But as it came to Subah Sadiq, the time when Fajr salah sets in, the light started to break through that darkness. And now Adam alayhi salatu was salam came to the realization that in this dunya there's not only darkness, but Allah has blessed me with light as well. So he performed two rakats of salah out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first rakat due to the fact that Allah had removed the darkness of the night, and the second rakat due to the fact that Allah had replaced it with the light of day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated these two rakats of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam to such an extent that he made it compulsory upon the best of nations, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to daily perform two rakats of salah at this time. When we come to the aspect of Zuhr salam, The ulama have written that at this time, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam had performed 4 rakats of salah. Also out of gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Why? Firstly, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him the ability to pass the test when it came to him slaughtering his son Ismail. That this was a monumental, it was a colossal test for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to slaughter his only son who was given to him in his old age. He passed this test, he was willing to submit to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first rakat was out of gratitude to Allah. That Allah, it's no doing of my own, it is your tawfiq, your ability that you have endowed me with. That gave me the ability to fulfill your command and to submit to your command, how difficult it may have been. The second rakah he also performed out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason for this, the ulama explain, was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. As is mentioned in Surah Safat, after the incident of the slaughtering took place, Allah says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We called out, O Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقَتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You have fulfilled the dictates of the dream which you saw. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. This is the way that we recompensate those who do good. So out of appreciation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken to him, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam performed the second rakat. Why did he perform the third rakat? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced Ismail with that animal from Jannah. One was passing the test, but Allah could have still made it that he should have slaughtered his son. So Allah gave him the ability to accept the decision of Allah that was passing the test. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced his son with an animal from Jannah. So he performed the third rakat out of gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And listen to why he performed the fourth rakat out of shukr and gratefulness. Because Allah granted him a son who had the quality of sabr. When he said to his son, Inni araka fil manami anni adbahuk. I see myself slaughtering you in the dream. Fandur madha tara, what is your opinion, O my son? The ulama say when it comes to the decision of Allah, you don't ask anybody's opinion. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was not asking his opinion in reality. He had put in a lot of effort to bring up his son correctly. He wanted to test his son and see how his son was going to respond to this decision of Allah. What did his son say? If'al ma tu'mar. Your dream, O my father, is the dream of a Nabi which constitutes wahi and revelation. So you have to do as Allah has commanded. Don't worry, I'm not going to make your life difficult. Satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. You'll find me from amongst those who will make sabr. Brothers, wallah, sabr in giving your life out of submission to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam performed these 4 rakats at the time of Zuhr out of gratefulness for these 4 things. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was so pleased with this act of his khalil that he stipulated that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will daily perform 4 rakats at this particular time. Asr salah, another 4 rakats. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was in the stomach of the fish. We know the entire incident. Fanada fi dhulumati alla ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. He calls out unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, indeed I have erred. Indeed I have committed a mistake. There is none that I can turn to except you. Fastajabna lah. Allah says we responded to his call. Wanajjaynahu min al-gham. We took him out of that darkness. We took him out of that situation. Wa kadhalika nunjil mu'minin. Allah says in a similar way we will help the believers. Now what does it mean in a similar way we will help the believers? Does it mean that we have to be stuck in the stomach of a fish before Allah will help us? The ulama and the mufassirin have explained it means that whenever you find yourself in some sort of difficulty, whenever you find yourself in some sort of hardship, if you call out to Allah with these very words that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam had utilized, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to your call like how he responded to the call of Yunus ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. When he came out of the stomach of the fish, it was the time of Asr Salah. He performed 4 rakats of gratitude, shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first rakat because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken him out of the darkness of the stomach of the fish. The second rakat because Allah had taken him out of the darkness of the water. The third rakat, because Allah had taken him out of the darkness which was provided by the clouds. And the fourth rakat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed the darkness of the night. Allah loved us so much that He made it compulsory upon us to perform four rakats at this particular time. We move on to the Maghrib Salah. And now it's the incident of Dawood ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. The ulama have written that every Nabi is ma'soom, he is protected from sin. This is the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that a Nabi cannot commit sin. However, due to the fact that he is a human being, at times he will err and he will commit an error. So, due to brevity, I'm not going to discuss what was the mistake that Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam had committed. Nonetheless, he showed an intense degree of regret and remorse. Allah mentions in Surah Sad, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him for his mistake. So due to the fact that Allah had forgiven him for his mistake, out of gratitude, he stood up with the intention of performing four rakats of salah. But the ulama have written, Wallah brothers, listen to this. When he completed three rakats of salah and he entered that fourth rakat of salah, he was reminded of his mistake. And it had such an overpowering effect on him. His regret and his remorse was once again ignited that he could not complete his salah. He had to suffice on three rakats. This was a mistake, not a sin. We disobey Allah. We sin day in, day out. Yet we do not even have that iota of regret, that iota of remorse in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he completed only three rakats of salah. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that action so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it compulsory for us at that particular time to perform three rakats salah daily. Now we move on to the Isha Salah. Here there is difference of opinion amongst the scholars. The first opinion is that it's linked to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, we know he had killed the Qibti, you know, the man from the tribe of Fir'aun by mistake. As a result, Fir'aun was after his blood. He had to leave Misr, he had to leave Egypt. He went and he settled in Midian. The story is famous. And there he married the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam on the condition that he had to work for Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam a number of years. After he completed that period, now he was leaving with his wife, coming back to Misr, coming back to Egypt. The ulama have written, when he left there, he had four different worries. The one worry was this, that his wife was pregnant, and the journey was indeed very long. So naturally, you know how our women folk carry on when they're expecting. This was a very long journey. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was worried, what would happen to my wife on this journey? The second worry he had was with regards to his brother Harun, who was still left behind. The third worry was the fear of Fir'aun. Fir'aun's tyranny and oppression was increasing instead of decreasing. And the fourth worry he had was with regards to the child in the stomach of his wife. That child is going to be born. Fir'aun's animosity towards me must not, you know, my child must not end up bearing the consequences. So he leaves with these four things on his mind. On the road, his wife goes into labor pains. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is now looking for, you know, for something with which he can start a fire. Remember those were the olden times. No lighters, no matches as we have today. And then he sees a fire burning, and the ulama explained it was coming from the Mount of Tur. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam says to his family that let me go there, perhaps inshallah I'll find some fire. I'm just cutting the story short. When he came there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaimed to him that Musa, you have come to a very mubarak and a blessed place. فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. The verses go on, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. It was here that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam received nubuwa and prophethood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at the wording. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is receiving nubuwa. After informing him that you will be my Nabi to Fir'aun, what does Allah say? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish salah, O Musa. So when Musa alayhi salatu wassalam comes back from the Mount of Tur, then out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having removed those four difficulties, he performs four rakats of salah. That's the one opinion of the scholars. The other opinion of the scholars is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to having the 5 salawat made compulsory upon him and his ummah, he used to perform the salah of Isha, and this was very loved to Allah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it compulsory upon this particular ummah. So I gave you a very brief history as written in authentic books of deen as to how these 5 salawat came into existence, why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it compulsory in these 5 times. Like that there could be many other reasons, it is known in the wisdom and the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is this, how much have we valued this gift of Mi'raj? Nabi of Allah was taken there to receive this gift. How much have we, who claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, valued this gift of Mi'raj, the gift of Salah? The Nabi of Allah has said, جُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The coolness of my eyes, the delight of my eyes has been placed in Salah. Where do we find the delight of our eyes, brothers? Is it on the television? Is it by looking at a ghair mahram woman? Is it by looking at the money? Is it by looking at the bank statement and seeing how much we have in the account? The Nabi of Allah says, the delight of my eyes is in Salah. Let me narrate to you an incident which is recorded in Hayatul Sahaba. Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu was performing Salah. He was performing Salah in his orchard. And while he was performing Salah, bear in mind this was Nafil Salah. The Sahaba used to perform the compulsory Salawat with Jama'ah in the Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a bird which is trying to get out of the orchard and it cannot find an opening. So it starts to flutter, it starts to make a noise. Momentarily, his gaze moves from where it was towards that bird. Momentarily. It's something which is natural. And as a result, he forgets how many rakats he has performed. He is so perplexed. He has so much grief, anguish, that I forgot how many rakats I was performing. Today we know what is our condition. How often doesn't it happen to us? We're standing behind the imam, we don't know if the imam is in the 3rd rakat or the 4th rakat. Sometimes we're reading our sunnahs, we're not sure ourselves. Momentarily, because something happened, nothing happens in the masjid, there's no bird flying around to distract our attention, something happened, he was so remorseful, he said, this bird is in this orchard of mine, so this orchard of mine is a means of me being, you know, neglectful in my salah. He went to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yeah, I am giving this orchard of mine in the path of Allah, dispose of it as you wish. Today, we use the 4 rakats of Zuhr to calculate how much we have made till midday. And to think as to what we're going to do in the business after Zuhr Salah. This is the condition of how we have appreciated this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We complain, we know about the fact that we have disobeyed Allah to a great extent. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, that you know what, I have done something wrong, I kissed a woman whom I'm not supposed to kiss. The Nabi of Allah keeps quiet. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveals the verses. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ. That establish salah at the 2 ends of the day and in some hours of the night. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. By following a bad deed up with a good deed, Allah will wipe off the bad deed. And this is what the ulama have mentioned and prescribed. The least we can do after having committed a sin is follow it up with a good deed. In another narration it is mentioned that before these verses were revealed, the sahabi came, he posed this question before salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. After the salah, he posed this question again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, didn't you perform salah with us? When he replied in the affirmative, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, that was an expiator for the sin that you have committed. Obviously, this refers, according to the ulama, to minor sins. For the major sins, we have to make tawbah. But how many minor sins do we have? How many minor sins do we have? That's why the Nabi of Allah explains that, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمَ إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءَ. That when you make wudu, when a Muslim makes wudu and he makes wudu properly, not only the face, the hands, masah and the feet, wudu according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma salla salawat al-khams, then he performs the 5 namazes which have been ordained upon him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of the leaves on the tree. Just as those leaves, when the tree and the branch is shaken, it falls off. Your sins fall off you in a similar manner. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the example. It is like that person who has a river flowing in front of his house. And daily he baths 5 times in that particular river. You won't find any sort of dirt or any sort of impurity on his body. That person who stands as he ought to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cleanse him of his sins. Cleansing of sins is one. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. All types of evil, salah prevents you from it. Now we may ask the question, well, if it prevents us from it, then why do so many namazis steal? Why do so many namazis look at what they're not supposed to look at? Why do so many namazis do this type of wrong and that type of wrong? It is because Allah says, listen very carefully, اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. When you establish salah, then it will protect you from all different sorts of evil. Reading salah and establishing salah, there is a vast difference between the two. In a nutshell, the ulama have written, establishing salah means to perform salah as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all the conditions, with all the sunnah, with all the mustahabbat. When we perform salah like that, then you will see how it will make a difference in our lives. The ulama have written in one hadith, it is mentioned that man hafadha ala haula'i salawat al-maktubat lam yaktub min al-ghafilin. If you take care of your 5 salawat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not write you from amongst those who were negligent. Allah will not write you from amongst those who were not focused on His worship and not focused on His ibadah. As we move towards a conclusion, respected friends, the ulama have written, and this is the point I want to drive home today, that he who has no salah in his life, he has no deen. If you don't have salah in your life, you have no deen. Today we talk about the various causes that could have led to the situation that the ummah finds themselves in. Each one of those causes are right in their place. And each one of the solutions that we discuss are right in their place. But wallahi, you have a conference. You have a conference where you want to discuss the dilemma of the Muslims. And after that conference, you don't perform your salah. Who are we fooling, brothers? For one moment, we're not denying what our Muslim brethren are going through across the globe. We're not saying we shouldn't have seminars, we shouldn't have conferences, we shouldn't discuss various ways of solving the problem. But the foundation of the solution is salah. Because in Tabarani, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, the relationship of salah with deen is like the relationship of the head with the body. You can do whatever you want for the body, if it's got no head, all your efforts are futile and useless. So whilst we look at other solutions, we need to lament the fact that scholars have written less than 5% of the population performs salah with jama'ah in the masjid. So if we can't get that right, I read an article, Allahu alam how true it is, but the intelligence in Israel conducted a survey. And they put it in the era of Yitzhak Rabin. And they wanted to know what is the amount of Muslims that present themselves for Fajr salah. When the statistics came back, and we know what are the statistics, then one of the leaders mentioned, as long as they cannot draw the same amount of musallis for Fajr Salah as they do for Jummah Salah, we have nothing to fear as far as the Muslims are concerned. I leave you with the statement of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. One day he writes a letter to all his governors, to all his administrators. He says, "Inna ahamma amrikum indi as-salah." The most important thing for you, in my opinion, Umar says to his governors, is salah. Nothing about how to rule, nothing about how much tax or jizya, nothing else. Salah. فَمَنْ حَفِظَهَا وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا حَفِظَ دِينَهُ. Whoever looks after his salah, he has looked after his deen. Look at the words of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهُ أَضْيَعُ. But if you do not look after your salah, then you will be even more negligent when it comes to the other actions of deen. So we cannot establish an Islamic life. We cannot establish an Islamic community or an Islamic institution or an Islamic government. Muslims can never be successful until we are successful in re-establishing the pillar of salah. I leave you with the words with which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded his life. The sahaba mentioned that kana akhiru kalami Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last words to emit from those mubarak lips, as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.